We have back there our prayer cards, and please take one. And also, if you want us to email you our newsletter, our title of our newsletter is Abraham's Journey. That picture back there with the young men harvesting rice, we just thought that was kind of funny. You saw the mass rice that's ready to harvest, and the Bible says, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. And as one missionary spoke on one Sunday morning, he said, be careful, you might catch something. And we were thinking, what, malaria or dengue fever or what? He said, no, you might catch the vision as well. So I pray that the Lord will open your heart to the mission field. Well, this morning, Pastor Eric asked me to preach something about Thanksgiving, since Thanksgiving is coming. And I just thought of an article one day as I opened the newspaper. And part of the news says that we're living in the most thankless generation ever in the history of mankind. And the article wrote little things about this and that and why we're not, because we're so preoccupied with the world and money and life and selfishness. And I thought all that is not within the Word of God. And the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 5, as we look, chapter 5, verse 8, the Word of God tells us, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Some translation tells us, happy. I believe people are not being thankful, especially this time of the year, because they're not happy. There's things that happen in our life these past few years that cause us to lose our job, broken marriages, broken family, things that occupies our mind. As a Christian, we're not happy because we have kind of preoccupied of the things that's happening around us. But the Word of God tells us, happy are you who are pure in heart, for you shall see God. Let's pray. Father, I pray today, as we ponder upon your word, you stir our hearts, O Lord. Cause us to realize where we stand before you in our Christian life. Lord, help us today to know, Lord, that the only way through happiness is to be in the Lord. And to be happy is to be thankful. And I pray for me, Lord, that I may stand behind the cross, that your words will be spoken, and I will receive the power of the Holy Spirit, that I will be able to preach the word of God with clarity. And Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I ask you today where you are in your Christian life. For some of us, we're still drinking the milk of the word. For should be a lot of us, we should be eating the meat of the word, the doctrine of our faith. Where are you in your Christian walk? Are you standing still because you keep looking behind you? All the things that you have done in the past has caused you not to walk with the Lord, as it is spoken by Paul in the New Testament? Or are you standing still because you're afraid of what's on the other side of the door? You have that fear, not the fear of God, but fear of what will happen. Are you walking forward, but you're walking a crooked walk? God is walking straight and you keep making a right and a left. Or are you the person who's growing in the Lord and you're walking straight for God? Where are you in your Christian walk? Are you happy? Happy are the holy, for they shall see God. Well, today I want to talk about this Sermon at the Mount. A few years ago, before we came here, I went to visit the Holy Land. And we went to the Sermon at the Mount. I read the Bible and I see so many people. God, Jesus is speaking to the multitudes. And then we see the area where he was, at the northeast or northwest of the Sea of Galilee. And every time there's an important place, the Catholics will build a church. So there's a beautiful church there. But I thought, when was he speaking? The Bible said somewhere in the latter part of the day. In the latter part of the day, the wind from the east comes in from the shore. And sure enough, someone stood at the bottom of that mount or that hill. And we kind of sparse ourselves or located ourselves sparsely around the area. And we sure heard the person talking. Here God is speaking to the multitudes. And he creates this great sermon about happy, blessed. And he hits this point. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And I look at this part of the scripture and I ask the question to understand it. And I want you to listen to the question that I wrote. First question that we try to answer through the word is, what does it mean to be pure in heart? What is Jesus, what is God talking about when he says pure in heart? Let me get this. Second question is, what does it mean when it says heart? What is the heart? And then third is, what does it mean when it says the impure of the heart cannot see God? Well, if you read this particular verse or this chapter, the blessed messages has really three types of elements. If you look at it, the first element is blessed, which means happy. It always starts that way. The second part is the element of the picture of the kind of person that person is. Blessed are the merciful, blessed are the peacemakers. So God is speaking towards a particular type of a person. And the third element is, it looks ahead of some aspect of the kingdom of God. So in verse 8, for they shall see God, blessed are the pure in spirit. And in other words, we're saying happy. Happy are the pure in heart. Who is pure? We're asked to live a holy life, but it's kind of hard in this life of, in a way, what we call sanctification. We were justified when we received Jesus Christ as our Savior. Then we are now being sanctified while we're living in this earth. And one day, whether sooner or later, or until the Lord comes, that we will be in perfection, which is glorification. Happy is the holy. It's hard to do, but when you don't live a holy life, you're not happy. Isn't that true? It's hard to be thankful if you're not happy. I don't know about you, but it's kind of hard for us. We kind of went to sleep last night. Not hard to be thankful what happened to us, because we're kind of stuck. And we know God's sovereign throughout this whole situation we're in. And so that thinking of Monday, we should be home and homeschooling the kids, already behind a week because my wife gave birth in September, and that was while during school time. You know, a lot of things comes into our mind and we weren't happy. It was hard for us to be thankful as well. You know, you hear people, I hate myself for watching pornography. You know, if you're not happy, if you're doing something, you're sinning, you're just not happy. Or, I hate myself for cheating in my exam. Or, I hate myself because I was angry with my father, my wife, or my mother. I hate myself for sinning. Unholy people are usually unhappy. And when you're unhappy, you're not thankful. I said here, sin doesn't ever produce the joy it promised. So Christ says, if you want to be happy, we have to be holy. That's not easy. Well, that first question, what does it mean to be pure in heart? The dictionary, Webster says, freedom from foreign mixture or matted, cleanness, freedom from foulness or dirt, freedom from guilty or defilement. To be pure means to that you are living a clean life. One time I was speaking to the campers and I had a clear glass of water here. You just don't see it because it's styrofoam. And I put some stuff on it. And to them, it looked like dirt. And sure enough, from pure clean water, it looked like muddy water. Well, I gave him a trick and I drank it. And everybody's, yuck, what is this preacher doing? He's drinking muddy water. They didn't know I put some Nestle instead of muddy water, Nestle chocolate. But it's an illustration. We are asked to live a holy, clean life, but when we start putting sin in our life, that's when our life starts getting dirty and it's not holy. You know, God is speaking, Jesus Christ is almost all the times referring to the Pharisees. The Pharisees were, looks like, clean outside. They throw a big facade of holiness outside, but inside they were dirty. There was a typhoon that hit Philippines 2 years ago, and northern Luzon was practically underwater. There was a lot of death. Usually, when Philippines gets hit by typhoon, it's, you know, we're just nothing. I mean, we're in the middle of the ocean. As we know, typhoon is like hurricane or cyclone in the Indian Ocean. It dies off in the mainland, right? So it dies off here when it goes through the Caribbean. Well, here with us, it goes right through like Haiti. It goes through and then it dies in China, southern China. And when it hit Philippines, Typhoon Pepin came back. There was a cold front. It was late in the year for typhoons. There was a cold front came out of China and just blew it right back to us. So we were underwater for a long time. And there was a well-known cemetery in Luzon called Loyola Cemetery Park. Famous people goes there or was buried there. The congressman, whoever, movie actors. And when the storm blew in, all that prettiness, it's a beautiful cemetery. Very beautiful, well manicured, Bermuda grass. Well, what happened, the storm came in and all of that exposed all that filthiness and all that rotting corpses inside underneath that. So when they took pictures, it's no longer beautiful. It showed all that rottenness that's inside of there. There was a preacher who preached one day and he says he was dressed with a suit. Brand new suit, looks great. And he said, some Christians walk in our churches looking like this. We look great on the outside. And then he started taking off his jacket, his tie was cut, and he had holes in his shirt, and his socks was holes, and his shoes had holes underneath. He said, it's a great illustration that some Christians walk in our church today who looks great in the outside, but hurting inside. They got sin in their life. And they're just throwing a facade. And Jesus Christ said, well, what is pure? He said, don't be like the Pharisees who praise in the court and looks like they're very holy, but inside they're rotten corpses. They're full of sin. Luke 11:39 says, then the Lord said to him, now you Pharisees make the outside of the cup and dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness. We're talking about the pure in heart. What does it mean to be pure in heart? Pure in heart is to live a holy life, to have a transparent life, to see Jesus in you. And can I remind everyone here, and I would be with my seven brothers and sisters who are now with the Lord. Thanksgiving is the first time probably that you could see your loved ones all together who's not in the Lord. What a great time to speak of God's love to them. And if you've done it before, let's do it again. Well, it's time that, you know, where we could be transparent and we could live a holy life and see people see Jesus in us and wanting to be like us, which is what Paul said one time when he said, imitate me or I imitate God. So it'd be great when people see us in a pure heart, transparent, seeing Jesus in us. And remember, the second question is, what does it mean when it says heart? What is heart? The Greek thought the heart was the center of thinking. So it The modern reader could translate the word mind for the heart. In other words, God wants us to have a clean mind, and we're only about 12 inches from the mind and the heart, and the true heart. In Scripture, the heart is always seen as the inside, inward part of the man, the seat of his personality and the center of our thinking. Our desire comes here. If we want it and our heart wants it, we tend to get it. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For if he thinks in his heart, so is he. So to have a clean heart is to have a clean mind." You know, Jeremiah went through this time where he's speaking to these Jewish people. Both, remember that time, it's two kingdoms, Judah, northern kingdom, and the southern kingdom. And he gives a proverbs in Jeremiah 13. And if you have your Bible, please go there with me. And here he's talking to them about their impure heart. We are the chosen people, but you're not living like the chosen people, as Jeremiah says. In chapter 13, verse 1, it's a parable. You know, parables just doesn't happen in the New Testament. This is a parable happening in the Old Testament, and it's a story within a story. It's got a spiritual meaning. It's what a parable is. Chapter 13 says, "Thus said the Lord unto me," speaking to Jeremiah, "Go and get thee a linen girdle." Now, a linen girdle is a it's a symbol of the closeness of God. You see this in the priest. A linen girdle is just a linen cloth, usually white, light in color, and it's around the waist. So God says to him, "Go get me a linen girdle, and put it upon thy loins, and put it not in water." So I got a girdle according to the word of the Lord and put it on my loins. And the word of the Lord came to me in second time, saying, "Take the girdle that you have got, which is upon thy loins, and arise, go to Euphrates." Now, they're saying Euphrates. Euphrates from Israel is about 600 miles. A lot of theologians believe this is a river within the country of Israel. So he said, "Go to the Euphrates, and hide it there in the hole of the rock." So he tells Jeremiah, "Get this white, clean linen cloth, put it by the shore of the river Euphrates, and hide it underneath the rock." So I went and hid it the Euphrates, and the Lord commanded me. And it came to pass after many days that the Lord said to me, "Arise, go to the Euphrates, and take the girdle from thence, and I commanded thee to hide there." Then I went to Euphrates and digged and took the girdle from the place where I hid it, and behold, the girdle was marred, and it was profitable for nothing. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, "Thus says the Lord, after this manner I will mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem." And in verse 10 it says, "This evil people, which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart, and walk after other gods to serve them, to worship them, shall even be as this girdle, which is good for nothing." There are people who are just totally unhappy. They're living an unholy life, and God just gave them away to their sin. And here Jeremiah is giving a parable, because action speaks more than words. Gives a parable of these chosen people who's not living right with the Lord. He said, they are this white girdle, which is hidden underneath the rock. And when it's removed, the dirt and all that grime collects in it. And when you have that type of girdle or that cloth, when you just stretch it, it starts ripping. And the word of God tells us that it's no longer profitable. It's no longer profitable. We're talking about, what does it mean about the heart? About the heart. The heart, we could, instead of hiding God's word, we're hiding in it the sins that we are doing. You know, the people next to us could see us and we look like we're okay, but inside our heart is full of sin. And Christ is telling us, blessed are the pure in heart. You ask yourself, you know, I'm going to church, I'm reading the Bible, I got Christian friends. What's happening in my life? Why do I feel not be blessed? And I pray, and God says in the Bible, in the book of Psalms, if you hid iniquity in your heart, I shall not hear your prayer. So we live this life, and we come into our church, and we look like we're holy people, but deep inside we're hurting, and we're thankless. And that's why, even though that article in the paper was talking about the world, I believe it speaks to us as Christians as well. It's hard to be thankful, and especially this time of the year, when we hid sin in our heart. And that's what Jeremiah is saying. Godliness doesn't move from the outside in. It moves from the inside out. That's where godliness. It's not just a facade, so people could see that we look godly. If you get your heart right, you'll live a holy life. And how true is that? The benefit of the holy life is happiness of seeing God. And, you know, here's another story of Saul. Saul also had a dirty heart, and God just gave him to his sin, and he died with his sin. Well, that's the heart. Next is, what does it mean when it says the impure the heart cannot see God? Someone says to me, Pastor, I don't have any hope. No matter how hard I try, I still can't get done. I can't forget what I've done. I just can't be pure. This is a lady who came up to me in the Philippines and said, what I've done in the past, now I have a baby. I feel so impure. I got pregnant while I was a teenager. I know God has forgiven me, she said, but I cannot forgive myself. And I said, that's ridiculous to say that. God has forgiven you and you cannot forgive yourself? You mean you're bigger than God? You need to forgive yourself and go on with your life and walk in the Spirit. Stop standing still, always looking back at what you have done in the past. Well, there's two different kinds of purity. What does it mean when it says the impure heart cannot see God? It's like almost like a reverse of what the Word of God's telling us. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. But what does it mean for those who have impure heart and not see God? I think there's three ways to explain that. First way is perfect purity. What does that mean? In 1 John 3:2, it says, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. When we get to heaven, perfect purity will be in us. If you're a Christian, you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you pass from this life to the next, you are in perfection with God. You have perfect purity. What is positional purity? I don't want to get too theological on you in this, but I need to mention this to understand what is an impure heart and why cannot they see God. Positional purity is what Christ has done in the cross. He sacrificed himself for us. God said we should be holy, but none of us can achieve holiness by ourselves. We are lost in sin, but God sent his only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to die for our sin. We were redeemed by the blood of the Lord. When we give our lives to God, he looks at me or looks at you righteous. In him, we have a clean heart, pure heart. When he forgave me, John Abraham, he no longer hold my sins. You see, I'm not pure in John Abraham. I'm pure, or I'm righteous in the Son of God. That's where positional purity is. It's a great exchange for us because he imputed his righteousness to us for our sins. That's a That's a big thing to swallow. But if you understand that, you realize that you could be pure in heart. Because God gave himself for you and for me, for our sins, the righteous God. Not because we're good, it's because goodness has been granted unto us. You understand? Practical purity then is, as Christian, we are righteous, so now the Lord expects us to live a righteous life. So we understand we're Christians. We understand that when we die from this life, we're going to heaven. We're sure of that. Well, that's your practical purity. That's God expects us to live a godly life because we're righteous persons. Sanctification is being practiced what you and I are in position. That's a theological term, but that's what it is. We're right now, until we die and go to glorification, we're under sanctification. So it's just pure putting in practice our position, which is in Christ. God wants me, you and me, to be pure, and it's not easy. One illustration is this. A pastor said to me, "John, how old are you?" I said, "I'm 48. "No, how old are you as a Christian?" "Let's see, I got saved when I was 32, so that means 16 years. And then so he said, "Well, for 16 years, that means you for 32 years were living in the flesh." And I say, "Yeah, that's right." So it's not easy sometimes to live a righteous life, because for 32 years, half of my Christian life, I live in the flesh. Once in a while, Satan reminds me of my old self, how prideful I was, or how deceitful I was. And once in a while, that shows up. And sometimes when my wife and I are talking and arguing, I get into this prideful thing and I have to ask for forgiveness. But we know practical purity. As we live this life in sanctification, we sin less. We are sinners saved by grace. We are expected to live a holy life. Well, how do you practice purity, as I end this? And this is just practical thinking. Commit to watching only pure things. You know, for 4 years, my wife told me the best thing ever happened to us is to go to the mission field, because we have two channels in the middle of nowhere where our camp is, and two channels that's just scratchy. And sometimes I don't even watch TV. I'm just so frustrated watching it. And sometimes the news is there, all we hear is the noise. But what a remarkable difference between that two channel and about 100 or 200 channels in our TVs today. I think the first thing we need to do is commit to watching pure things. We are careful to watch TV in front of our children. And I think, shame on you if you're not. Because the TV shows ungodly things, even though it's under PG. Word of Life missionaries are not allowed to watch movies in the movie theater, because we cannot control what some of those things are being shown. And we don't. What we do is just buy the kids' video that we know, that we have seen, and it's got purity in it, good lessons, good messages. Job 31:1 says, I have made a covenant with my eyes. Remember the Steve Green song, "Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little eyes, what you see, for the Father up above, looking down in love. So be careful, little eyes, what you see." Speaking to the children, our children, his children, which means us. So be careful what you see. Commit to only pure things. As Job says, make a covenant with your eyes. Because once it enters here, it goes to our mind and goes to our heart. And what we see and watch, we want. And usually we get into sin. Second part is, commit to consecrate your mind. As I close in the second part here, Proverbs 23:7, it says, "For he thinks in his heart, so is he. For if he thinks in his heart, So we see the heart, according to Jesus Christ, is the seat of the indwelling sin, someone said. So we need to focus our mind in good things. I need to ask you, how's your time with the Lord? Our pastor once said, for many of us believers, we leave our Bible in the pew so that the next Sunday we know it's there for us already. Some pastors said the biggest dust storm that ever occurred in this earth is when every Christian blows the dust off their Bible. We want the answers in life. We want to understand what God is doing in our life. We need to get into the Word of God. And, you know, as missionaries, that's every message that you probably hear from me is to exhort every believer to get into the Word of God. Because, listen, if you don't fill your mind with the Word of God, then you're filling your mind with the things of the world. There was an Eskimo who brings his two dogs to the village, and every Saturday he fights them. And one day, the villagers finally asked, how do you know which one's going to win? And the Eskimo finally told them, well, the night before, what I do is whether it's the black dog or the white dog, I either starve one and feed the other. What does that tell us? When we don't feed our mind with the Word of God, we starve the Spirit. When we feed ourselves with the Word of God, we starve our flesh. You understand what I'm saying? When we get into the Word of God, then our mind is focused on the Word of God. But when we get into the focusing of internet and pornography and all these things that the world is throwing at us, and Satan says, take it, and you take it, then you're in this sin. And you look back in your life and you say, I haven't been in the Word of God. I've been garbage in, garbage out, as one pastor said. You can control it. Somebody said, you can't stop the birds from flying over our heads, but we could stop it from resting in our head. Amen? So get into the Word of God. And last is, if you do get into the Word of God, commit to Bible memory. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you, said the psalmist. Well, I pray as we get into this Thanksgiving mode and we are finding ourselves to be less thankful or can't thank people, we look into our lives and we realize we're in the midst of our sin and we need to ask God and give it to God and forgive ourselves. And you know, when you do, you'll be walking into that Thanksgiving dinner full of joy, full of thankfulness. And when somebody asks you, could you give grace and be thankful? I bet you have a lot to say, amen? We'll have a lot to say. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. You sure, Lord, stirred our hearts this morning. Even me, as I preach this word and I pray for the folks here at Christian Faith Church, that their hearts were stirred also. Lord, we know it's hard for us to be thankful when we live an unholy life. And yet, you said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. To be pure in heart is to be holy, and to be holy is to be happy. And also to be happy is to be thankful. Lord, I pray for each one here that you cause us to change whatever we are and do right for you, Lord, and get into the Word. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
day. I know it's kind of, some of you may not even know we're going to do this today, so we're spying on you, but there'll be plenty of food, so please stay and, you know, chat with John and Sheila. You know, maybe have some questions for them, maybe just get to know them personally a little bit. But also, there's also a little offering plate by their banner there, just a love offering for them today. As you know, when things pop up unexpectedly, sometimes you don't know where things are going to come from. So the Lord leads you today in any way just to bless them financially. There's a plate back there that we maybe can bless them today for blessing us through the Word of God. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, for the family of God, so we can come together and worship you as one in Christ. And Lord, we thank you for John and Sheila and their children. Lord, we continue to pray your blessing on the family as they remain in the States for a while and continue to minister to churches. Father, we just thank you for the message today, Lord. We pray that, Father, we would be pure in heart. Lord, that we would want you to change us from the inside out. Lord, just help us to be honest